Hello and welcome to Rewatchable, episode number 325. Today we're discussing Veronica Mars, season 4, episode 7, Gods of War. I'm Danielle. I will be your host today and every day as we talk about Veronica Mars. But today I am joined by my two co-hosts, Karen and Kendra. Hello.
Hello.
I did a little dance so everybody knows.
Good. Yes, because you're finally back.
Yes, but also I just got excited that that we're here, and I liked how you said you will be our host today and every day. I wish I could have you narrating my life every day.
Oh, if you would pay me, I would do it.
That could be arranged.
Oh, goodness. All right. So let's jump into stuff. But before we do that, I want to tell you how to get in contact with us because we love hearing from everyone who listens. So if you would like to get in contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. You can find us on Tumblr. We're at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can come join our Facebook group. We're at Rewatchables Rewinders on Facebook. Just type that into the Facebook search bar and you should be able to find it pretty easily. We have, I think currently, is it Veronica Mars on there or is it still Agent Carter? I can't remember. It's Veronica Mars.
That's Kristen's job and she's very good at her job.
I should not have doubted Kristen. Not for a second. So yeah, come find us on Facebook. We're having some fun chats over there. I know you've heard me talk about it before, but I like the group and I would like to grow it and get some more conversations happening. So yes, again, that's Rewatchables Rewinders. Before we jump into our discussion today, I want to have the opportunity to do fun facts. We like to do this at the top of every episode so that you can kind of get used to our voices as we switch up our hosts every week. So Karen, would you like to give us your fun fact for the week?
Yes. My fun fact is that I just saw Danielle in person.
Hey.
And it was very exciting. It was a bit of an up and down weekend, I will admit, but I had a very good time. We saw a lot of cats. I can't stop thinking about the cats at the Catcade and how that one just curled up into my lap until they took it away to be adopted.
Yeah, that was unfortunate for you.
It was. It was a very cute cat, but had a lot of fun. And even though this week has also been a hellscape for me, I think that I really needed to get away. So that I'm glad I got to go to Chicago and spend some time with you.
And I am very happy to have been able to facilitate that. And for those of you out there who maybe don't know, Karen and I don't live too far from each other. We live maybe two states away. And I love her so much. I love her so much that I drove 4 hours to go pick her up, 4 hours to bring her back to Chicago, and then 4 hours to take her home, and 4 hours to take myself back home.
Listen, you don't get best friends better than this. Seriously. It was a lot. I feel super guilty. But
No.
She offered, and I didn't ask for it, so...
I did offer, and I was very happy to do it. We've wanted to road trip with each other. Maybe next time it'll be an actual road trip.
Yeah, to somewhere else. That's the goal.
This is a test run. It's fine.
Exactly. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. I feel
cool.
Like I'm gonna buy pretty quickly.
Thanks. No, wasn't that bad. All right. Kendra, what is your fun fact for the week?
Well, I'm only like 10 more hours away, guys, so... if you could stop by here next time, that would be great.
Done.
Perfect. Okay, my fun fact is very excited because I just booked tickets to go to Christmas dinner in the Great Hall at the Warner Brothers studio set in London in December. And I'm getting it all robed up and it's going to be all wintered up and it's going to be very exciting.
That sounds wonderful. I've gotten a couple emails about that. Like, hey, you should come to this. I'm like, oh, God.
I know. I've wanted to do it every year since they've been doing it. But tickets always sell out like immediately. And I just happened to like see the tweet when it first came out. And I was like, I'm on it.
Oh, good for you. Are you and some of your friends going?
Yeah. My friend lives in Denmark, so it's a little bit closer for her. So I was just like, if I'm coming, you're coming. That's the end of the story.
Oh, perfect. I like that story.
Yeah.
I expect photos and
you'll see
stories them. And just regale us with your experience.
Excellent.
Yes. Yes, yes. All right. My fun fact for this week is that I don't know if I have one. So let me a little bit. Yeah. Let me ramble into one by first saying thank you for being patient on this episode. We were set to record last weekend, but then as Karen kind of hinted to, my grandma passed. And so I had a lot of things to do last weekend while Karen was in town and while we were supposed to record Rewatchable. So we weren't able to actually do it. So thank you for being patient and thank you for allowing us to put this one up a week late. It's greatly appreciated. And your nice messages were lovely as well. And now for my fun fact. My fun fact is that my favorite month of the entire year is 2 days away. And come October 1st, I will be all fall all the time. And I am so excited.
Halloween.
Halloween. It's 1 month of Halloween, 1 month of fall, 1 month of Danielle is like peak Danielle.
This is the only time of year that I can relate to people who love Christmas so much, because I love Halloween so much that I just want to like start celebrating it immediately once the weather starts cooling down.
Yes. Like it has taken all of my strength to not start decorating our apartment and Halloween-y things, but it's going to be October 1st. I'm going to let it happen on October 1st and I'm very excited. So that is my fun fact. I'm very proud of myself. All right. So let's jump into our discussion for today so Danielle can stop rambling about things. But before we jump into the discussion, here's a quick recap about what happened in Veronica Mars Season 4, Episode 7, Gods of War. In this episode, Keith makes a big mistake IRL, and Veronica makes a big mistake in her dreams, but Weevil and Wallace save the day. I like that. Short and sweet, and definitely what happened. So let's talk about some of these mistakes. Let's kind of weave our way into it and first start with Veronica and some of the things, some of the mistakes that she makes in this episode, or perhaps just not great decisions. The first of which is she goes to a Murderheads meeting instead of Skyping with Logan.
Boo.
Yeah. Like I understand her point where she says she's not going to wait around. She can't wait around all day.
Absolutely.
To like hope that Logan is going to call. Okay, yeah. Totally fine. However,
she could have been less of a dick about it.
She could have been, yeah. So I assume you're not down with this, Karen.
I am not. When she said that line, I totally understood where she was coming from. That would absolutely not be fair to her. And of course, Logan wasn't asking that. Like, he totally understands that she isn't able to do that. And I actually really like that she's not doing that, that she was like, I gotta still live my life. But at the same time, I kind of feel like she's still running away from things and that this is part of what's going on there. And I don't like that aspect of it.
It was just, I don't know, for someone who was really excited to see that he was calling, she kept putting him on hold or just kept like tossing the laptop around. I don't know. We know that Veronica has an obsessive personality. So we know that obviously she would want to go to the Murderheads meeting and like very much make a point of doing so. But, and like you said, Logan knows that she's not going to wait. He's not asking her for that, but it was just, I don't know. It didn't sit well the first time I saw this episode, and it didn't sit well the second time. What about for you, Kendra?
I think kind of the same. I think for me, it was half like he just left and you guys weren't like perfect when he did leave. So maybe this is the time to like kind of drop everything and make this happen. But then the other half is just like, this is just kind of the sad reality of their relationship, and it kind of painted a bigger picture of what kind of Veronica and Logan are on a day to day since the TV show and movie ended before this season. which kind of gave a little bit of context to their relationship that we haven't seen. But, and I think on Logan's side, like, he seemed a little upset, but I think it's just like, he understands that she can't drop everything, but at the same time, it would kind of be nice if she dropped everything once in a while.
Yeah, and that was a great point, actually. I forgot about the fact that, like, he up and left. Like, they didn't even get a chance to say goodbye. And presumably, with the way that the timeline has been sort of working with this season, I don't think multiple days have passed in between his leaving to the point where they would have had some other Skype date previously.
Yeah, I don't think so.
She's definitely a workaholic, and I think that that works against her a lot of the time. And while I understand, like, she's excited about the case and wants to solve it, and, like, this is kind of a big deal, maybe going to the Murderhead meeting and finding more about these guys, you know, and the background checks that they did on them, you can spare 3 minutes to be like, hey, how are you? You know, it sucks that you didn't get to say goodbye. I do have to go, but, like, hopefully we can talk again soon. She was being kind of dismissive.
Yeah, you're right. Like, she was running away from it in that she was literally running around the house. Like, her physical movement kind of echoed how she felt about it, it seems.
Yeah. And just playing hot potato with the laptop. Like, you can bring that laptop in the bathroom with you.
Even Wallace, like, got to talk to him more than she did and got to tell him about the new job and all that kind of stuff. Like, and he was there for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the best. So that's just one of the sort of mistakes that she did in this episode. And I will get into, like, the Murderhead stuff in a little bit, but I kind of, not to keep harping on Veronica's mistakes, but we have a theme going here. So let's keep going. The next mistake is her bugging Nicole's office, which she kind of did previously. But even when she's feeling guilty about it, she keeps doing it and she keeps listening in, to the point where it has to be Keith who tells her, like, hey, it's part of the job, but also, like, if you don't want to listen, like, don't listen, just don't do it. So in this episode, we see Veronica's guilt get the best of her. She takes the bug away and actually confesses and, like, comes clean to this, which actually was a huge surprise for me the first time around. I wasn't expecting her to do that. Did this seem a little out of the ordinary for either of you two?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak on authority here, but has Veronica ever sort of owned up to something like this before? Like, most of the time she tries to get out of these situations or at least feels less guilty about it. Like, she usually feels very vindicated in the reason why she's doing what she's doing. And even though she might be upset that, like, her friend or something is mad at her, she still thinks she's done something right. I feel like she doesn't feel that in this case.
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, she felt some guilt about something surrounding Meg in season 2, maybe, but Meg kind of had a similar reaction.
Oh yeah, something about, like, when, because Meg was dating Duncan and then went back, and then Duncan went back to Veronica or something.
Yeah.
I think she did show it a little bit there. I can't remember if she said it to Meg. I know she said it in voiceover.
Right. I remember Meg getting mad about something, so that's why I kind of thought that she did. Anyway, yeah, I think it does just speak to the level of guilt that she's feeling here that she doesn't usually feel because she's so sure that she's right.
Hey, and growth. Perhaps,
I was going to say, yeah, and some growth on her behalf too, for sure. Do we think that this is the end of their friendship or any sort of working relationship? I mean, Nicole's getting out.
Second chances.
Yeah, she doesn't do second chances. Nicole's getting out. Like, she sold Comrade Quacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like something new is going to come to light that's going to make Nicole rethink her decision. Like, all the facts are laid on the table. Like, Veronica said why she did it and that she did it. So it's tough to see her thinking another way to try to understand it.
Yeah, I'm sad. Like, I'm still hesitant because, you know, still very jaded about anybody on the show and liking them in case they
try
to be another Beaver. But if this truly is the end of their friendship, and if Nicole was like a one-off character for the season, I'm genuinely going to be upset because I think she's so cool and I think there's still a lot to learn about her. And like, if this is really it, like, Veronica messed up. Like, she messed up big time. And I understand why she did what she did, because signs were pointing to Nicole at the time. But I feel like there was another way to investigate her without bugging the office of somebody who became a really good friend.
And I think that's part of the hardest thing, is that Veronica doesn't have very many female friends. And with, like, outside of the show and the actual, like, making of the show, with Tina Majorino, like, wanting more for Mac's character and not wanting to come back unless she gets that, the chances of her coming back are pretty slim. And who else does Veronica have? Like, what other female friends, you know? So it was kind of nice to see her with another female friend, because we haven't seen it for so long, and these two really were on a level. So it's a loss for everyone.
Or honestly, friends in general. Is Wallace really like her only other friend? She's dating Logan. Her relationship with Weevil is very rocky. She has her father, but it's her father.
And Corny went and became weird gym nut, supposedly.
Dick maybe counts as a friend, but like...
Oh, Dick is a friend. How did I forget Dick?
But you know what I mean? Like, not even just talking about female friends. She doesn't have a lot of friends, period. I think this was very good for her, and she really screwed it up.
She did. She really did. But sort of one thing... I guess Veronica didn't screw up, sort of mistake, but not really. But I want to get your thoughts on it. So later on in the episode, she has a super graphic sex dream about Leo after he was trying to invite himself over to her place, not so subtly. And I don't know. When I first saw this sex dream, I was pissed because I thought it was real. Did it fool either of you at any moment?
Nope. I knew that it was a dream from the second it started, and I enjoyed every second of it.
Really? Do tell. Oh, yeah. What stuck out as dream-like for you?
I just really, really had a feeling that, like, Veronica wasn't going to do that. Also, it was weird. Like, she had just gotten out of bed. He was coming over late at night. They didn't talk. She had the smile on her face. Like, it just seemed too convenient, too perfect, too pretty. And I was like, this is definitely a dream. So I just ran with it, and it was hot. It is my favorite scene, spoiler alert. And I was just like, I'm just going to enjoy this because I know she's going to wake up and feel terrible. And she did. And I was right. And it was great.
I think you're super right that it didn't really feel real, but I was just so terrified of it being real that I still lived in fear until we saw Wallace in the corner.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Like, is he her conscience?
That's what I was wondering too. I was like, is that trying to say that, like, he's her moral compass or something? Like, what does this mean?
That makes a lot of sense, because he will, out of the, like, the three of them, Logan, I mean, Logan's gotten a lot better, don't get me wrong, but between Logan, Veronica, and Wallace is really the most central, neutral, good person.
Right. He is just, like, would, good.
Yeah, it would make sense that he's her conscience.
So you think that she would want him around more often. But I guess in her line of work, perhaps maybe not.
Yeah. He should be around. She could use him.
Yes. But also she could be friends with him and not use him.
Yes. Can we talk about that? I don't want to skip ahead, but I have some thoughts.
Thoughts about what? We can skip a little bit.
Her treating Wallace the way that she did in this episode.
In the Murderheads meeting?
Yeah, well, in tricking him to go to the Murderheads meeting.
Oh, yeah, no, go for it.
Like, total dick move. I was actually really mad about it because he wanted to go to a movie with her and she lied to him. And she was like, we could probably make the 10 o'clock. But like, everybody knows, like, she wasn't worried about seeing the movie. She just wanted him to go with her to the Murderheads meeting. And like, if she had asked him, he may have given her some shit for it, but I think he would have gone. And it just sucks that they've been friends for so long and she's still doing this to him. Like, I don't want to say he deserves better because I really, really like their friendship. But at some point, I would hope that she's sort of learned her lesson and is treating him better than she did back in high school. But doesn't look like it.
No. Yeah, this is like textbook Veronica and Wallace. And obviously, it's exactly the same.
Yeah, like he and Mac have, in the movie, they tricked Veronica into thinking they were going out to dinner when they were going to the reunion. But like, that is one time that they tricked her. And like, they thought it was for her betterment. Veronica does not do this because it's what's best for Wallace, or like could be a good thing for Wallace. It's very much self-centered. Yeah, and with her relationship with Weevil being the way it is too, you would think that she would maybe try to value Wallace a little bit more. I don't know. Yeah, that was rough to watch. But apparently she does still value him because he's in the corner of her sex dreams, just watching. To go back to that sex dream, though, really quickly, I was afraid with all of the scenes that Leo and Veronica had over the last few episodes that this was real. And even afterward, where she looked relieved, like, I still, for some reason, was tricked into thinking, like, maybe it wasn't a dream. Then, so this sex dream, she goes on to reveal later that she didn't feel anything but relief. And that, coupled with the showdown at the cabin, which we will for sure get to in a few minutes, that gave her a moment of clarity in order to say yes to Logan. Are these two things good reasons to say yes to Logan? I go back and forth on it and wanted to hear your thoughts.
I'm a little bit on the fence leaning toward no. Because it's like that thing where like people get engaged or get together or something after something traumatic happens. And it's like, I love that the first thing she thinks of is Logan, and it does show how important he is to her. But it's one of those things where like, if that's not how you feel all the time, is this really what you want, or are you just scared? And if she's having a sex dream about Leo, like, she clearly kind of wants to hook up with him, be with him. Like, he's a great guy, and I like him a lot. But even though she's relieved that it wasn't true, she was relieved that she hadn't done anything to mess up her relationship with Logan. She never said that she didn't want to do that with Leo. Like, she does. But she clearly cares about Logan more, which is great. And I understand that she has maybe feelings or is interested in maybe following something with Leo. But like, I don't know. I think if you make decisions after something traumatic like that, it's mostly because you're scared versus like that being how you feel all the time.
I think there's a third event in this episode that we have to consider that might have factored into her decision, and that is what happened with Nicole, in that with her growth and with that happening, she's learning that she doesn't have all the power in her relationships. Like, the world doesn't revolve around her, and her actions have consequences. And she knows that she's hurt Logan. She knows that this is something that means something to him. And then the trauma and the relief, I think, just settled it for her how much she loves him and how much she's willing to do for him. and maybe that means more to her than her baggage of not wanting to get married. So it's not necessarily a principle that she doesn't want to get married. It's how she's been hurt in the past.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I didn't even think to take that into account. But I think that's definitely an important thing, because she did lose someone kind of important to her because of the way that she had acted. But yeah, I go back and forth partially because of what you were saying, Kendra, because she has that sort of clarity and she knows like everything is not about all about her, and like she can recognize how other people feel about her. And then obviously contrasted with making a decision after something big, like the shooting. If it was just the other two things, maybe, but with the cabin ambush, it feels a little rushed. And I mean, as people, when we are in relationships with others, I think it's the choice to remain faithful, or like the choice to not act on other things, that is the important thing, not the fact that like feelings for other people may come up at certain times. And so I don't think that aspect of it bothered me maybe as much. I think it was just like her using the word relief. And something about that feels more focused on like the guilt that she would feel rather than like relief. To me is different than like disgust, but it obviously wouldn't be disgust. But does that kind of make sense? Just the connotation of the word? I feel like there's a different word that would have a different connotation that would have made this feel better for me.
I think I'm okay with relief. Like, there's obviously something happening with her and Leo. Like, they have a connection and they had that awkward moment about her kind of inviting him over and then not inviting him over. Like, it's at the forefront of her mind, which makes sense that that's going to affect her dreams. And like, maybe she does have feelings for him, and obviously she's attracted to him, like they dated before. But like you said, Danielle, like that's not a problem. Like, sure, she could go hook up with Leo and whoever else, but she's trading that in for the relationship that she has and to some extent cherishes with Logan. And your dreams are like so in your mind and your head, like they're so close to what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Like, I've definitely woken up from dreams and been like, thank God that didn't actually happen. Like, felt like an overwhelming sense of relief when like maybe it was something I would do, maybe it wasn't.
I think I understand where you're coming from, Danielle, when you said relief kind of bothers you, because it implies that like she doesn't have as much control. Like, she thinks that she did it, like because she's been so close so many times that it felt so real for her. And so having a sense of relief that it didn't happen implies that she doesn't have that control over it. And I would hope that her love and loyalty toward Logan would stop her from doing something like that. And like, trust me, I get it. Leo is a catch. Super hot. He's a great guy. Like, I'm not going to lie when I said that I was a little bit happy to see this, because I do think they could be great together. But it sucks that even though she feels everything she feels for Logan, she's still, I don't know if it's necessarily her running away from him as much as she is afraid of commitment and likes the excitement of maybe somebody else, even if he might not be the perfect person for her.
I feel validated a little bit with my hampering about the word usage. I think that the control is the piece that I was missing.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So then this kind of begs the overall question, should Veronica and like, will Veronica and Logan make a good married couple? Is this the next step for their relationship?
Despite some hangups and the way that I didn't really like that she, how she came to this conclusion, I was very happy that she came to this conclusion. I think they are very good for each other. I think Logan has come so far from the television series, from the previous three seasons. I'm so proud of him. He has turned into such a great guy. Veronica needs to get her shit together. And I think that she's able to do that with Logan around if she will just allow herself to be vulnerable. And I think that he's the only person in the world that she would consider being vulnerable around, except for maybe her dad. But like, these are obviously very different circumstances. So I think they could make a great husband and wife, but Veronica's got a lot of work to do before that becomes a healthy relationship.
It's interesting because I've heard either Kristen Bell or her husband, Dax Shepard, say that like everything changed for them either when they got engaged or married. Like it fixed 99% of their problems because they just like both felt safer. And weirdly, like I could see that same thing applying to Veronica and Logan. Like I think there still is a little bit of fear there, which seems kind of weird to me, because like that seems like not a great reason to get married, just to like make sure you're like locking this person down.
Yeah,
but maybe that would solve some of their problems.
Yeah, I that doesn't happen for most couples, but I think that could definitely happen here, because I just think they have these insecurities that could be fixed with the extra reassurance that perhaps marriage can provide, because it would be nice for them to not turn on each other as much, which that's a strong word, but yeah, I'm all for it. I think that they would make a great married couple. And I think it's been a long time coming. And I think it would be interesting to see Veronica getting over her hesitations towards marriage and kind of working through those things, because those are some pretty big hangups that she has, because she's seen examples of marriage in the past and they haven't been great. All right. Well, let's shift away from Veronica and Logan, because I'm sure there's going to be much more to talk about in the coming episode. So I want to shift away from there and into basically the other sort of big thing that happened in this episode. And it's the reason why I really like this episode. And that is the ambush at the cabin. So essentially, the cartel guys knew from the last episode that Veronica was snooping around their stuff. They had made a promise that they were going to pay her a visit. And Weevil finds out about the visit because the cartel guys told the one guy's girlfriend that they were going there. So thank goodness for loose lips, I guess. Karen, our resident action lover. On a scale from 1 to 10, how satisfied were you with this sort of showdown, both in terms of action and in terms of the emotional moments of it?
A solid 6.5.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it was great. I mean, you're not going to get like huge action out of Veronica Mars. So like in Veronica Mars scale, this was like a 9. Because there were no explosions, so like I wasn't that satisfied. But it was really good. I think that it was really scary. It was really scary from the get-go, because Veronica's not a cop. Like, I mean, at least her father has that experience and everything, and like, yes, she knows how to shoot a gun, she has a license, like she is very capable. It was kind of weird to see her like ducking down behind the car, shooting out at these people who were shooting her. We're not as used to seeing her in those situations. So like it was cool, but it was also a lot of pressure, and I was very worried for her. couple of those bullets came really close, and I kept yelling at her to duck her head down lower beneath the car hood, because like her whole head was sticking up. But that's beside the point. I think that it ramped up even further when Keith realized he forgot the bullets. That made this really scary, and especially when he goes for them, that made it really emotional. You can tell how scared she is for her father, and we don't see Veronica emotional that often, but there are, like she said before, there are like two people in the entire world that she actually cares about, and it's Logan and her father. And right now her father is doing something really dumb because he doesn't want her to do it. She was really smart about it. She kept her head, which I loved, and she distracted them when she could. But thank God, obviously, that Weevil showed up, because it could have turned out really bad for them. But yeah, it was pretty exciting. It was a little scary. I liked it. I thought it was good, but it was also, it felt a little weird in the middle of a Veronica Mars episode, because most of the time she's like using a taser, and this time she's like trading shots with the Mexican cartel. It was insane.
When you say it that way, trading shots with the Mexican cartel, it does have a bit of a Grey's Anatomy flair to it. In terms of like the hyperbole.
Yeah. Kendra,
in terms of moments in Veronica Mars, does this one rank anywhere for you? How did you feel about this?
Which part in particular, or just the whole scene?
The whole scene, but I would say the whole scene, in particular the stuff with Keith going out to the car, or Weevil coming in to kind of save the day.
Definitely Weevil saving the day was my favorite part of this season. That was like a hallelujah moment for me when that happened.
I'm mad about that, but I will let you continue before we talk about that.
It just felt like, even like they've obviously been through a lot, like they've gotten in fights in the last few episodes, they've got some differing opinions, but it just felt like the same thing that always happens, like one of them gets into a really tight spot and they help each other out no matter what. Like, that was a very dangerous situation. Like, Weevil doesn't have any control over those cartel guys. He just showed up with more guys. Like, that was the power he had. Like, that wasn't a slam dunk for him. Like, that was a dangerous situation for him too, and he went in there without any hesitation. In terms of Keith, I was very sad. Didn't really understand what Veronica was doing / why she was doing it when she went to get more ammo. I kind of got lost a little bit in there because I was like, that's kind of stupid. That is kind of suicide. I was with Keith on that one. But obviously that was very sad that for him that he forgot that. It was a big moment.
Yeah, I remember being really afraid for him. Especially because, and I don't know if you guys kind of feel the same way, but with each and every season finale, or at least overarching mystery finale, there has been this caliber of a sequence, I guess. One where there are emotional stakes that are combined with some sort of thriller violence kind of thing. And this sequence to me felt very much like a season finale sequence, which raised the stakes for all of the characters to the point where it felt like perhaps one of them wouldn't make it out alive. Did it have that sort of feeling for you guys as well?
It was heavy. It was real. I think that was the big thing. Like, these guys are obviously ruthless and they wanted to kill her and they were going to kill her. And Veronica and her father and the other two were trapped in this cabin with limited ammo. It felt like at any second the tide could turn against them. So yeah, I definitely, you know, a lot of penultimate episodes feel kind of like lead up to the finale episode. They feel like fodder for what is eventually going to be a huge explosion in the final episode. This didn't. This felt like everything really ramped up and kind of came to a conclusion, but you also knew, you know, something more is going to happen. You know that there's still another step to go. So it was actually a great penultimate episode. And as I told Danielle before we started recording, really good. This is probably, it might be my favorite episode so far. I felt like it had a lot of great action. It had a lot of great character stuff, a lot of good story going on. They did a great job here.
So then what was your issue that you wanted to bring up? What was that but?
That Weevil and Veronica only like looked at each other. Like I wanted her to run into his arms and hug him, which is her style. So like I understand why it didn't happen. I wanted them to at least exchange words or something. And they just sort of looked at each other and he went away on his motorcycle. And don't get me wrong, I love that he showed up. I love his loyalty to her. I think that is super, super important and kind of undervalued by the TV show so far. Like I would love to see more of this, but yeah, I wanted there to be more acknowledgement and more of a serious interaction between the two of them than just their eyes locking and both understanding that like he definitely just saved her life. And like, he knows that she appreciates it, but I think some pointed words would have gone a long way in this situation.
I mean, but also Weevil's not one for talking.
Veronica can do the talking and he could be a smart ass and then they could go off in different directions, both knowing that they love each other in some kind of way. I think that would have been great.
That's fair. I wanted to go back to one of the things that you just said, because it's something I forget each time I watch this sequence. And that's the fact that the reason why Veronica and Keith are out in the woods in the middle of nowhere at this cabin is to pick up Penn, because basically the cops fingered him as being the culprit, as being the bomber. And he disappears. And like he and his the girlfriend disappear for a large amount of the sequence. I mean, for good reason, they don't have a lot of self-defense skills. But I think it's so interesting how they can just disappear to the point where, for me, when they came back, it was a surprise. Or like I had completely forgotten that they were there in the first place.
Did they disappear or were they just gone? Like, do we know that they disappeared in reaction to the APB being put out on them? Or had they just planned to do that? I wasn't clear on that.
I meant disappear like in the sequence, like they went to go hide under a bed, but I think they planned. Oh, that's a good question. I think they had planned to go on the vacation or on the weekend. I think that was planned.
She didn't know about it though, right?
Yeah, like, she got involved.
She didn't know he had done stuff. I'm not even entirely sure that I don't know what's going on with him. I don't, are we meant to really believe that he did all of this?
That's the question.
Okay, because, it made it very clear that they believed he did do the follow-up bombings.
Correct, yes. The first, the one at the Sea Sprite, and the one for Perry, whatever his name was, Perry Walsh, that was Big Dick.
Right.
They fingered Big Dick for that one. And then there was a second bomber for the rest.
But they're like so sure that he's the second bomber. And he was like, but actually it's not me. And I don't know. I just got confused because obviously we want to believe Veronica and Keith are right. And they wholeheartedly believe that he did it. But some things just don't add up. And I wasn't sure by the end of the episode if we were meant to believe Veronica or if we meant to question what was actually going on.
I think it's left pretty ambiguous because the next episode is the season finale and there's still some stuff to unpack. Like, we can't be going into the season finale fully certain that we know who the bomber is and what's going to happen with the other bomb if it's there.
And I mean, true to Veronica Mars' form, there's always some sort of conclusion reached around the penultimate episode that is either changed or slightly altered by some piece of brand new information in the finale. And so I think that the seed for that sort of like change or alteration is planted at the end of this episode when he asks for Mars Investigations to work for him. But Karen, do you think he could be capable of this? Does he seem like a viable suspect to you?
Definitely. They painted a very clear picture of the kind of person that he is. And he's been shady from the beginning, not only because he was going up in front of reporters and giving, you know, his tale of woe, but like he wants to be in the middle of all the action. He likes the attention. That is a sociopathic, psychopathic, serial killer thing to do. And even though he tends to come off kind of harmless and stupid sometimes, I think that it could be a show. It definitely crossed my mind, even in the first episode, that he was capable of doing all of this, but I didn't necessarily think that they were going to go down that route. So it's interesting that they have at this point, but I'm leaning more toward there is another twist coming. So I don't think I necessarily believe that he's the one who did the second bombing.
Fair. I want to talk about what happens next, but obviously I can't. So I do want to keep talking about like the APB and everything and kind of highlight the fact that one of the things we've been watching out for all season has been the competency of the police force, basically, because in the past they've had a record of just being not good. But here we see the FBI almost being incompetent while Neptune police are following the Mars's lead and going after Pem Epner. It's a subtle change, and it's one that, at least in this sequence, I had completely missed or didn't even think about. But I don't know, what is it about this case or something that, like, the FBI wouldn't be able to see a Pem Epner as a potential perpetrator, as the potential bomber? Like, why? It feels weird that this case is what's making the Neptune police look better than they have in the past.
That is weird, especially because it was only Leo's boss that thought, whoever he thought it was, like the rest of them, whoever was like on the scene, were like, well, this is obviously wrong. Yeah. So I think that was just in there. I think they're trying to say something about the Neptune police, and I don't really know what. Like, she just seems to make everyone her enemy. Like, Mars Investigations was her enemy until the FBI became her enemy, and now she's like, well, I want them to lose, so I'm going to go with you guys. Like,
right, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
Who is the one that the FBI boss thinks actually did it?
I don't even know.
Some random person a few counties over or something. I don't even think it was someone who's really all that involved.
Because I was wondering if the FBI was looking for like the flashy story versus like the pizza guy doing it is kind of boring. Like, who even is this guy? He's not that interesting. Versus if it was somebody else who had, I don't know, a more interesting motive versus even just a better motive, if that was something that they would be more interested in tackling.
Or maybe they had been looking for an excuse to bring that other guy down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is interesting because that seems more Balboa County Sheriff's Department kind of, like, that's the track record that the Lambs have had in the past, like wanting the flashy story and like overlooking the boring. Yeah. And so it's interesting here to see that flipped. And I'm with you, Kendra. It's easy to see that they're trying to make some sort of statement about the police because the police have very explicitly been incompetent in the past, but it's so hard to figure out exactly where they're falling on that competency now.
Also, Do we know who the voice of the boss is? Because I feel like that was a Rob Thomas moment, but I don't know if it was supposed to be like somebody. I just felt like it was supposed to be some weird, like small cameo, like a hilarious in joke.
That's a good question. That I do not know. I haven't heard anything, I don't think. I'm going to make this a really interesting podcast and Google it.
Research break.
Because he did have a very sort of familiar voice, but I could not place it either. Well, I will keep looking. I don't want to hold this up, but we will find out because that's a great question. I think that about wraps up the ambush. Any last thoughts about that ambush? It's one of the reasons why I really like this episode was because I liked the way that that was brought in, as scary as it was.
Do we want to talk about what Keith says afterward?
Yes. Thank you for the reminder. So the ambush, while it kind of pushes Veronica to say yes to Logan's proposal, it pushes Keith to perhaps say yes to a retirement community's proposal. He's going to go work as security and a sheriff in a retirement community, to which, who was it? I can't remember who said it to him, but basically Keith is like 50, 55, and he's trying to put himself in a retirement community. It's so sad.
It was the lawyer guy.
Oh, yes.
He said, we're contemporaries.
That's so heartbreaking.
I full on cried during the vending machine scene. That was really hard to watch because you can tell he scared himself a lot. The worst thing in the world that could happen to him is that something happens to Veronica because of him. And it almost did. And I know he doesn't want to give up being a PI, and he probably doesn't want to give up working with his daughter. I mean, that's sort of the ideal scenario for him. But he decided in that moment that that's what he's going to do. And every time Veronica says, you're fine, it's going to be okay, it's not that big of a deal, it hurts even harder to have to convince her that it is the smartest choice for him. And the tears in his eyes and the wobble in his voice just really got to me. And I cried. I cried during the scene.
And like, we see all the time how much Veronica hates being vulnerable, and she got that from somewhere. Like, Keith is the same way. So for him to break down like that in front of her must have been like, it must have been so painful for him that he did that. I wonder if anything else, if literally anything else could have happened that would have actually made him make the decision to retire, other than putting Veronica's life at risk.
Yeah, like, would putting a client's life at risk have the same effect as putting Veronica's life at risk?
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's hard to see Keith in this way. Like, coming off of the movie, he was going to have some struggles, but to have the struggles be mental rather than physical, I think is something that I hadn't anticipated. And I think it's harder to watch because his intelligence, his, I don't know, he's just always been so quick, both with quips and with figuring out mysteries, that it's hard to see him going through something that's like a mental challenge rather than a physical one.
A physical challenge, at least you kind of know the parameters you're working within. Like, if your leg doesn't work, like, that's how you adapt your life. Whereas, like, what's happening to him right now, like, he has, not only does he have no control over, like, he has no way to understand it. So it feels even more powerless.
He would make the best retirement community security sheriff, but I feel like he would just be a salty person, right, talking behind all of the old people's backs the whole time. Oh, Keith, love him so much. Okay, so we spoke about the bomber for the main bombs, but not the first one. And so basically we got the reveal for that in the last episode, which we all kind of decided was a reveal that really wasn't a reveal. But we get more, even more, with Big Dick and Clyde in this episode. Not only does Keith confront Clyde and kind of cut him off as a friend, but Big Dick kind of cut Clyde out of things as well, because Big Dick is Big Dick. Is it surprising, and I was trying to think about this previously, like, is it surprising that Big Dick could have such a non-reaction to the hoopla about the bombings and then still operate in the same way as he was intending to, even though his bombing didn't go how it should have?
I think the rich in Neptune are really used to everything going their way. Like, they just, they run the town. So it's not that surprising, I guess. Like, it's business as usual.
Like, let's just cut this con out of a deal and let's buy this 16 or 17 year old a really fancy car.
Yep.
Which was gross. He's so gross. I don't know. And so at the end of all of this, Clyde, who's pissed at Big Dick, Clyde understands where Keith was coming from, and they kind of parted amicably, which I want to get to in a second. But Clyde turns Big Dick over to the cartel guys after we've just seen a little bit of what the cartel guys can do. Previously, Clyde has felt intimidating. Obviously, he's dangerous, but he's never felt, I guess, murderery, even though he was in part behind that first bombing. How does his turning Dick over to the cartel change the way that we view him, especially after seeing his sort of tender-ish parting with Keith scenes beforehand?
I think where Big Dick is used to just people kind of falling down in front of him to give him what he wants, Clyde is used to doing whatever it takes to get what he wants, and I think he maybe would rather not hurt people, but I think in the end he's looking out for number one. What I'm worried about is if he's going to do anything to Keith, because Keith just came right out and told him what they were, that they had figured them out and that he was doing something about it. So that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, it was very much like a cut the crap kind of moment.
Yeah.
Which I liked the bluntness. Yeah, I liked that a lot. But there is a certain concern. Just another thing that Keith has to be concerned about, I guess. Karen, I remember when we had started this season, you were, I believe, unsure about Clyde. You liked him, but you had some hesitations. Is that correct?
I mean, I don't think he's necessarily, like, a good guy. He's definitely got some things up. I think he's willing to do some dirty things to live a boring, clean life that he wants to. And if that's the case, like, I'm okay with that, which is, it's not a good thing. Like,
he just only wants to murder a few people. I'm all right with it.
Right. Like, it's crazy because he's very charismatic. He's very charming. He's polite. Like, I do like him. I really want to like him. I really want him to not be a bad guy. I don't want him to go back to prison. Like, I think, I don't want to say he deserves a quiet life, but, like, I kind of hope he gets one. But if it turns out that, like, he's in a little bit deeper than I think he might be, like, I'm going to be a little angry about it. He's clearly made some big mistakes, but didn't they say, like, an episode or two ago, he robbed banks, but he said, like, please and thank you, or, like, something like that, where, like, mm-hmm. he really wants money, and he's not afraid of breaking the law, but he's not inherently, like, a psychopath or, like, a terrible person.
Well, I think the thing was, he never robbed a bank with a gun. Like, right. He never hurt people, I don't believe. So the Sea Sprite, which was an accident, and his handing Big Dick over to the cartel guys are, I think, what we're supposed to perceive as the first time he has had people murdered or killed to get what he wants.
Handing Dick over to the cartel guys is a little different than robbing a bank, because you walk into a bank that's filled with innocent people and mm-hmm. you just have a goal in mind, but Dick screwed him over and, like, he views him as, like, an evil person probably. So
yeah, Dick's also not a good guy. Like, it's more than just shady dealings and stuff like that.
So did Clyde, this is a question for Karen. Did Clyde basically put the nail in Big Dick's coffin by handing him over to the cartel guys, or do you think he's going to be able to get out of it somehow?
I don't know. That is a good question. I feel like he definitely put a bullseye on him, and Dick is pretty squirrely. I feel like he could potentially get out of it, but the cartel guys also kind of don't give a shit. Like, I feel like they kind of do things because they're bored or like because they feel like it versus having an actual agenda. They're pretty patient guys. And if they're like, oh, well, this seems interesting, like they'll do it. I'm not sure that he'll necessarily die, but I am curious to see if something else comes of this, because that could be interesting if he finds his way out of it and like who else he owes favors to. I also like that was a dick move to
it was
a big dick move to screw over Clyde the way that he did, and kind of, I don't know, like Big Dick does not hold the power here or in like any relationship he has at this point. Clyde is pulling the strings, and to bite the hand that fed you is bad play. Like, he should know better at this point. So I really don't feel that sorry for him. I don't want him to die, but I don't feel sorry for him.
I mean, but it also feels like he thinks he has the upper hand. Like, he thinks he's in control.
That's the dumb part. Like, he should know better.
He's an idiot. I don't know. Yeah, poor little Dick. Must have been so hard to grow up with terrible people. Ugh.
I mean, considering the people he grew up with, he turned out okay. Like, he's still Dick.
He's not great, yeah, but he turned out okay.
He could have been worse.
One of his best friend's dad was a murderer. Like, they're all not great. Oh, goodness. All right. There are just a few more details in this episode that I want to get to. The first one is, in case we forgot about them, because I certainly did, the Maloofs are still around. And basically, Veronica goes to collect a check from Mrs. Maloof and overhears her talking about how the congressman's injuries and what he went through make him basically a shoo-in for a Senate seat. Like I said, I forgot about this at this point. And so my answer to this question I'm about to ask is like, yes, but are you overhearing about the Maloofs?
Probably. She also didn't seem to care at all that when Veronica said that they thought they had the wrong guy before. Like, so she's got some weird motives that could come back somehow, I guess.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question, if like they're keeping them around in order to bring them back somehow.
Well, the ring's still out there, right?
Yes.
That's still something. But
that's fair. Yeah. That would be the reason why they might still be around.
I care about the Maloofs still.
Do you?
I do a little bit. I like the senator guy. I think he made some stupid decisions.
Like putting a hit out on people?
Yes. Like, why would you do that? But I want him to be better, and I want him to be a good guy, and I want him to be a good senator. I think that he is very, very capable of that, and he's capable of bringing something different and new to a Senate position if he could just get his head out of his ass once in a while. So, like, I hate his mother. Like, she's awful. But I would very much like to see him bounce back from this and hopefully learn his lesson. But at the same time, unless somebody takes out those cartel guys, like, this is going to be hanging over his head for a while. Also, I do really want to know what happened to the ring, because they keep bringing it up. I just need to know.
No comment. Hashtag no comment.
Rude.
How's that?
Rude.
Well, you never know. It could show up in the next episode. It could not. But one thing that we're definitely going to see in the next episode is people trying to puzzle out this weird poem that was sent to the police at the end of this episode, basically saying that there's another bomb still out there. So whoever this bomber is, if it's the same one, if it's a different one, they're getting bolder now in that they're warning about the bomb in advance, something they've never done before. And a doing limerick, so.
A limerick? Really?
Doing so, yeah, in a limerick. I mean, a little over the top, wouldn't you say?
So dumb.
I noticed today that it says 3 trips around the sun, I think is the first line.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like 36 hours. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's 3 years.
That's a great point. So, also, 3 trips around the sun, if they were thinking it was days, 36 hours wouldn't be 3 days.
Well, originally it was 72, right. but then later they said 36 because some time had already passed.
Interesting. Anyway, there's probably more of limerick I'm forgetting. But
yeah, no, that's a great point. 3 trips around the sun would be years, not days.
Hashtag science.
Hashtag science.
Mitch, where are you?
Yeah, don't question it. So I can already tell, Karen, that you are not a fan of the limerick. I will say that I find the limerick frustrating in the way in which they approach it. And we'll see more of that in the next episode. I don't know. It seems very over the top and not in line with everything that has come before. So it's either the bomber is getting more bold or it's a different bomber. But also, I remember my first time through this series, by the time I'd gotten to this point, I liked what the ambush did for the show, but I was also kind of slightly over the will they, won't they find the bomber aspect of this season and kind of frustrated by the bombings in general, to the point where, like, when a limerick was added in, it just felt more dragged out than previously. I don't know. Kendra, how did you react? Do you remember how you reacted to the limerick when it first kind of popped up? Did it feel Veronica Marsy to you? Were you into it?
Not really. It kind of just got lost in the shuffle of this episode, I think, when it happened, kind of in with their theory. How did the prostitute yourself note? That was just like a straight up note from the bomber, right?
I think so. That's right. Was it a note? Was it a manifesto? Where was that?
Oh, yeah. That could have been Perry Walsh's thing, but I thought it was.
Yes, I think it was Perry Walsh's thing.
Okay, gotcha. Well, they needed some way to let us know that another bomb was coming, but I'm with you that, like, all of a sudden the bomber is like the Riddler when he just hasn't been up until now. So that's a little random.
It's just so weird. It just feels really weird. We haven't seen anything like this on the show before. And you're right. It does get lost in the shuffle of this episode. And it's interesting that you say that, because I had forgotten that things happened in this episode after the ambush at the cabin. I also forgot that things that happen in the finale actually happen in the finale and not beforehand. So time gets really wonky for me around this episode and going into the next one. And you're right. The note just kind of gets lost in the middle of everything that is happening and everything that's to come.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, there's another bomb coming. That's really all that matters for now, I think.
Yeah. And then there's like a whole, we'll get to it next week, but like there's a whole other thing that happens in the meantime. And it's like, but you're also looking for a bomb but you're over here. I don't know. It's just a lot that happens in these 3 days or less than 3 days. And so the note kind of just happens. I'm rambling now. So is there anything else about this episode that we wanted to highlight or talk about before moving into the season finale of this 4th season of Veronica Mars?
One thing that kind of stuck out to me during this episode was Veronica spitballing about the pizza guy, mm-hmm. and her father kind of chiming in on it and everything. But it really struck me that this entire season, they have sort of been just throwing out theories, seeing what sticks, following the investigation. And it wasn't easy. And we saw a lot of kind of behind the scenes of what happens during an investigation for a couple of private investigators. And I weirdly kind of appreciated that. I don't know that everybody would necessarily, because it can be a little boring, but it reminds me of Mindhunter, where the focus in Mindhunter is on the investigation and them kind of categorizing serial killers and studying them versus catching them, which is also important and is obviously the end goal. But you really see them make mistakes and go down the wrong road and have theories and disprove them. And I know a lot of people, when we started Veronica Mars season 4, said that the mystery of the season wasn't that interesting to them. But I found it kind of fascinating to kind of dive deeper into what they do every day versus when it was on air during the first 3 seasons, where we saw they kind of had like a new mystery every week. And so we didn't see as much of the legwork and the digging into the different theories and maybe being wrong and going down the wrong road. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool.
I think that also is complemented by the fact that Veronica and her father now work together. And so we see a lot of the series through her eyes. And now we're getting them both together. But yeah, I do like that kind of stuff. I love seeing them spitballing. I think that's a great point. Cool. Well, I don't want to keep talking about things from this episode because obviously there's going to be a lot to talk about in the next episode.
My eyes got really big when you mentioned the next episode before because I was like, oh no, this is the finale. I know I'm not ready for it.
We're going to need to block out more time than just 2 hours, I think, for the finale.
Crap.
So let's leave this episode there and move into our favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene from this episode, as we talked about to a great extent, was the entire sequence at the cabin, but mainly the moment when Weevil comes to Veronica's aid and they have that sort of like exchange, that visual exchange that you pointed out, Karen. Kendra, what was your favorite scene?
It probably was the one you chose, but just like you, I got jumbled up in the timeline of these episodes. So my favorite scene, after I remembered it happened in this episode, was Veronica saying that she will marry Logan.
It's happening. Ah! Oh, so lovely. And Karen, your favorite scene?
Mine was absolutely Leo dream sex because it was really hot and I'm so proud of myself that I knew it was a dream from the second that it started. And I was just happy to live in the moment knowing that it wasn't real, but that like it was kind of real.
I am impressed. Kudos to you. Hats off to you, Karen, for knowing that because I definitely did not know it was a dream. All right. And in terms of favorite lines, mine was Weevil, and it was his line, I think his only line during my favorite scene, where he says, "Head on out, boys. No one's touching her. Head home." And he was talking to the cartel members.
Like,
I love that he called them boys.
Do we kind of ship Weevil and Veronica? Like, that's a thing, right?
It is a thing. I don't know if anyone on our crew has been on that ship.
Okay. Like, I don't really want it to happen, but I kind of want it to happen.
Right.
Was it?
I get excited every time they have an interaction like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think he's, like, the one for her.
No.
But it was on
our last episode, and I can't remember who brought it up. Was it you during the panel?
Yeah, at Comic-Con, whoever was the moderator asked Francis if Weevil was in love with Veronica. And he was like, of course. And like, that was less interesting than being like, why would they ask that question? Like, it really wasn't something I had thought about before. But maybe I just root for him to love her, which is sad. But I can't see her ever loving him back.
I do think she loves him to an extent.
For sure. I think it's a familiar love.
Yeah, like I don't think it's a romantic thing for her. I think they have a very deep connection that goes back to high school and a lot of the things that they've been through. They understand each other in a way that honestly, I'm not even entirely sure Logan can understand Veronica, but it's not necessarily going to translate into a romantic relationship.
But that's what the ships are for.
Exactly.
Exactly. Kendra, what is your favorite line from this episode?
I mean, my favorite line was actually when Logan said I do, and Veronica said, you already know your lines, but I didn't want to pick the same scene twice, so I'm going to pick another one from, it was a happier Keith and Veronica scene in this episode, when Veronica was considering not bugging Nicole anymore, and Keith said, go on having your whatever the female version of a bromance is, and then Veronica said, a friendship?
I almost picked this line because it was excellent shade.
So good. Yeah. I loved that one as well. And I actually completely forgot because, again, the shuffle of everything that's going on in this episode, but Logan came back. He was gone not all that long, and then he came back.
I was shocked. I was shocked that he was actually there.
I mean, thank God. They can't get rid of Logan for even one episode when there's only eight.
True.
Yeah, no. Can't do it. It's not allowed. I feel like it's against the law, probably.
Contractually obligated.
Contractually obligated. I mean, probably. In order to be in that title sequence, he has to be in every single episode.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. And Karen, bring us home with your favorite line.
Mine was when Veronica and Keith had to run out of the office and they were talking to Maddie, and Veronica says, don't do anything I wouldn't do. And then Keith says, and most of the things she would do. Because as soon as she said, don't do anything I wouldn't do, I was like, that leaves a lot on the table. Like, so much. So I was a little worried, but then Keith followed up with the truth.
He's got it covered. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows the drill. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, those were our thoughts about this episode of Veronica Mars, as well as our favorite scenes and favorite lines. And we want to know what you have to say. So please reach out to us. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. You can find us on Tumblr. We're at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And, I mean, you can also leave us a review on iTunes if you are so inclined. We love those 5-star reviews. They allow for our podcast to get put in front of a bunch of other people who may not have normally seen us. And then we can grow our rewatchable family and make these episodes even better with more feedback and just more interactions. And we love it. So we always have an incentive. So this week, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then Karen will write up a fanfic for a dream between Leo and Veronica and share it with you.
I would actually do that.
I know you would. That's why.
It's great. It's a good one.
That would be something that I would definitely read as well. And if that's something that you would read, which you totally should, please, please, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And also, while you're in the whole rewatchable mindset, we would love for you to come and join our group on Facebook. We're at Rewatchables Rewinders, and you can come and discuss that fanfic that Karen is going to write for you right there and tell us all about it, because we probably wouldn't all see it, just you. So that would be nice. Before we go today, we do have a couple pieces of listener feedback. This first one is from Leah. Karen, will you get this one?
Yes, because I love Leah. Leah at Leah TA11 says, I finally resurfaced. Anywho, Logan is a ray of sunshine and his growth makes my heart happy. Maddie is a delight. Nicole's the friend who convinces you to make poor decisions, and I love her. That is true. Yep. Clyde is a fun addition. Leo can still get it. Leo can absolutely still get it.
I like how he's not in this season, like, a ton, but we've had so many conversations and even episode titles named for Leo.
Honestly, he kind of makes a big impact, though.
He does. Like,
he's just so there and at the forefront, especially when Logan can't be around, Leo's kind of there, and I'm not into it.
Well, you're really into the sex dream, so.
I am.
Oh, goodness. All right. Kendra, will you get the second piece of listener feedback?
Sure. So Nassim tweeted, I utterly out of the blue dreamt that I was supposed to drive Danielle somewhere, but I never went because I was terrible, and Brittany made me apologize to many people on a conference call. I may have unresolved guilt about not joining Rewatchable this time around.
Oh, that and is then so she, cute.
And then she tried apologizing to me, and Brittany jumped in and said, like, wait for everyone to jump on the conference call.
That is so cute.
Oh my
gosh.
Nassim, we love you and we miss you.
Yes. At Nassim writes, she's brilliant, by the way. If anybody out there hasn't read any of her articles or anything, she is like one of the smartest people I know. She writes amazing articles. She wrote one about the Joker that was super interesting. And I just love her. She's awesome.
She is awesome. So shout out to Nassim. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right. So this is it. We're reaching the end of season 4 of Veronica Mars. And so before we sign off today, before we get ready to go watch that season 4 finale, Karen, what is your word? Shoot. You can fill in the blank. Ready? It is now time for Karen's.
No.
You're all good at this. All right.
It's not contemplations. Hold on. I'm going to.
It's not conjectures.
Conclusions.
All right. Mm-hmm. It is now time for Karen's conclusions for Veronica Mars season 4, yep. Episode 8, Years, Continents, Bloodshed.
Don't have high hopes. That sounds like an awful title. Many terrible things are going to happen. There's going to be death and bloodshed. Obviously, because it's mm-hmm. the title. I'm scared.
Okay.
I'm hoping they wrap up the thing. I'm hoping Neptune as a whole will be okay. I don't want Nicole to leave, but if she's evil, I definitely want her to die.
Uh-huh.
And yep, yep. I just want Veronica. At the end of the day, honestly. Jokes aside, at the end of the day, I think I just want Veronica to grow and be a better person. And I hope that whatever has happened in season 4, she moves a little bit further toward that goal. And do we know if we're getting a season 5?
It hasn't been announced. I don't
But
believe.
Like, it seems likely, right?
It seems like they all want it. And
right. I think whatever happens in this finale, I hope is setting up for something that happens in season 5 where Veronica can continue to grow. I don't think I want her to be like the perfect human being because that's never been Veronica's thing, but she can be kind of annoying sometimes and she makes bad decisions and she should trust people more. I understand why she doesn't, but she should trust people more. And I hope that we just continually walk toward that goal.
I like your predictions. I have one question for you.
Okay.
It may be a leading question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Do it.
Do you recognize the episode title at all?
I do not.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. No.
Yes.
Really?
Karen.
I don't know things. What is it?
It's like the most famous Veronica Mars quote.
Really?
Other than like I'm a marshmallow, maybe.
Yeah, it's way, way up there.
Well, now I'm offended.
At yourself?
Yes. What is this supposed what is it from?
If I say anything, it'll kind of give it away though, wouldn't it? Well, okay.
But if I was supposed to recognize it.
Yeah. So in season 2.
Okay.
At the anti-prom party.
Okay. Veronica has an exchange with someone.
Okay.
Who is kind of drunk, but also like means a lot to Veronica.
Okay.
And starts talking about how I thought our love was epic spanning years, continents, bloodshed.
Well, it's like spanning years and continents, lives yes. ruined, bloodshed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Epic.
Epic.
First of all, I remember the entire scene thing that you're thinking of. I've never heard that line in my life, obviously.
What? Oh my God. Like, what?
Remember that line?
Oh. Oh no.
Kick me off the podcast.
Karen, I'm going to find the YouTube video and you need to just like play it on repeat until like, okay. it's burning.
Line wakes me up in the morning. I don't know it.
I'm so sorry. I failed everybody.
You're not a real fan, Karen.
I'm not.
You smell bad.
I do.
You smell bad.
Whatever.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's all right. I forgive you. We'll get this to you. You can watch it again. All right. Well, this is all to say that next week might be terrible.
Yay!
Hooray! We love it. It's great. But we will discuss that when we get there. So for now, saying goodbye. I am Danielle.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kendra.
See you later, marshmallows.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Karen. Wow. Ghosted. She's ignoring us. That's cool.
Okay. I've been hearing some interesting sounds.
Oh, boy. Karen. You know, this is recording. We should say something. She wouldn't hear it until later. Maybe.
Karen smells bad.
Okay. How did I do that? Was like timing. Wow.
Oh, that was so good.
Wow. I can't believe that happened like that. Sorry. I turned my volume way down because the sound of my computer doesn't work, except apparently when I plug in my headphones. So, like, that's good news. So I was like, where is everybody? Why hasn't anybody gotten on? It didn't give me a ding. And then I was like, shit. And then I remembered. And I came on to Kendra saying that I smell bad. So I apologize that you've probably just been hearing me typing for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, yep. A lot of that.
I'm a terrible person.
Yep.
Confirmed.
Right. I've done more than one episode this round.
I don't think so.
Really? This is my second one?
I think so, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I've been terrible. I've also been
extremely we've established busy. That.
I smell.
Oh God.